Blog Talk Radio.
All right, senor.
Hello.
And here's Vernon.
Dun-da-da-dun-dun-dun. Hey, welcome to another edition of Vulture's Paranormal Rick, featuring Madman 2020 as your host. That is me and Senor Lex Hotep, the Nazi UFO commander himself. How are you today, Lex?
Doing pretty good.
All right. Well, we were talking earlier about reptilian bloodline.
Yes.
And a topic we could probably spend many, many, many hours discussing, but unfortunately we are limited in time. So I'm going to let you yourself give us a little background on what we had, you know, gotten to it so far, and just tell us a little bit about what you know.
Well, we kind of disagreed over Noah, you know, the Bible story of Noah, about how it says he was perfect in his generation, and I kind of thought that you know, that because there were eight people on the boat on the ark. And then
he was specifically talking about him, but and that would make sense. But you got to realize that the translation over to the King James Version and the other versions that we have in English now were taken from a much older translation, which is more specific. And unfortunately, a lot of the words, whether they mistranslated it on purpose or just lost some of its specific meaning in translation, was lost. But at any point, being perfect in his generation would also include his children. So, the sparing of humanity was brought about through the actions of the ark and everything that transpired from there, as far as I'm concerned, because of, you know, what I've studied and read. But, I mean, I could be wrong, just like anybody else. I mean, hell, it may not even actually happen. It may all be mythology.
That's right.
You know, who knows? But we look at events that have transpired since, and events that are continuing to transpire, and the prophecies in some of these, and some of them are direct. It would seem to me that it's very real. And, you know, we have actually found evidence of giants in the form of remains and other type characters that do not fit the profile of, you know, the genetic of mankind, Homo sapiens sapiens. So something happened somewhere along the line, no matter how lost in translation it may have got. Something did happen.
That's right.
And again, I go back to the story of Enoch and what Enoch's telling, because Enoch's very direct. You know, he doesn't mix words about it. And he tells of his dealings with the Nephilim and apparently some of the fallen angels as well. And their request for him to go before God and on their behalf. ask for mercy, and the denial of that mercy, and him giving them a heads up. And then we read later on about, you know, those Nephilim being not in the world at before the flood, and then some afterwards. And then you kind of fast forward a few thousand years, perhaps, and humanity and civilization takes hold again, apparently in Sumeria, because that's our earliest finding so far, unless we find something earlier later on. I guess it could certainly happen. And you see the story of their Anunnaki, which means in their language, apparently from the sky, from, you know, where they came from. They're not from here. Coming here and seeing this great deception of how they are, our gods. They created this slave race, genetically manipulating certain types of homogeneous that existed here today, and so they perfected that slave race in order to mine their gold, which is just exactly the deception. You know, instead of us being created by a god in their image, we're created as a slave race all of a sudden, which fits into the mold of that great deception in the beginning of it.
Do you think that they know who God is?
They say they do. Well, I think basically, and I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not quoting exactly, but basically they were asked that. They said that there is one, but they had never met him. That there is a great creator, but they had never met him.
Huh.
Or one who created the universe, but they had never met him. So. And that's the Anunnaki speaking when asked about that.
That's funny how the great creator has never really came forward, you know, that we know of. I think Yahweh was an Anunnaki.
I think not. I think that the Anunnaki are Nephilim, physical Nephilim, ones who survived by getting off this planet. Because they had, you got to realize there was a worldwide civilization, technologically advanced, okay,
right,
that
uh-huh.
traveled certainly within our solar system and maybe even the universe. I mean, they had Diamantis, whether you want to call them UFOs, ships capable of it. They had a different technology, more advanced than anything that we know. I mean, look at the monoliths around the world. We're talking stones in the, you know, thousands of tons each, fitting perfectly together. So with the things that we couldn't accomplish today.
Right, like Baalbek, Lebanon.
Yeah, Baalbek, Lebanon is a perfect example. So, and then you also look at, well, Baalbek, Lebanon, you look at the Stonehenge, you look at all of these hinges, all of these monoliths, they all lay on a line that is almost, there may be a slight deviation, but it's not enough to make a difference. They all lay along the same perimeter of the in direct correlation of the center of the earth. So certainly they had to be laid out from the sky, or at least by those who understood maps on the world level. An ancient man was not supposed to have been able to do that. So ancient man, as far as we track our beginnings back to, which is about 6,000 years ago, is the beginning of civilization. 6,000 to 9,000 years ago. But we look at the accomplishments and what was left behind, and they are in a straight line around the world, directly in correlation, the same distance from the center of the earth, which would tell you that this was done on purpose, and certainly they had the ability to survey all of this from the air, which would
right.
indicate technology that we weren't supposed to possess till the 20th century.
I think that the pyramid was geographically centrally located because it was some kind of power plant, you know, that distributed power to.
But even the pyramids themselves, those pyramids lay on that same circumference line, the same line as Baalbek, as the ruins in Vietnam, the Great Temple there, as all of the ruins that were you know, as those in Machu Picchu. All of that, they lay on that same equatorial sort of area, that line that you know goes across, around the Earth itself. And
you know when you fly in a plane, you fly in straight lines, do you not?
Yeah, you do. So they had the ability to survey from the air, which would indicate a technology which goes back to my point. Worldwide civilization who arose and built these things at the same time who possessed technology, certainly, if not beyond ours, but beyond anything that we're aware of or that we attribute to them. But more than that, you see evidence of moon bases, bases on Mars, which would indicate that we have been there, which would indicate that this Nephilim, which means earthborn, not necessarily just giants, although giants there were some, but there were also those who, because the fallen angels did not just manipulate human genetics, but genetics of all the creatures of the earth, which, you know, probably is where we get Centaur, Minotaur, et cetera, these types of Nephilim as well. So, but the point being is there was a worldwide civilization that existed at one time that we are not recognized, who had the ability, technology greater than ours, even that we possess today, not based on fossil fuels at all, rather based
right.
on sound, perhaps. I mean, clues are in the Bible. God spoke everything into existence, which is sound.
Sound waves.
Walls of Jericho. Yeah, sound waves. And there's a lot of speculation that says, you know, sound waves can levitate. And there's descriptions of types of, well, they attribute it to spiritual type stuff. But I think a lot of it has to deal with misunderstood technology that mankind later on, civilization that arose after the flood, through oral tradition, passed down memories that they perhaps had of technology. And later on it becomes, you know, impossible to duplicate because no longer do we have resources at our disposal that we once had or the understanding of how to use those resources.
Right. That makes sense.
But definitely, yeah, but definitely this genetic leadership, or these leaders, it is speculated that these worldwide leaders, as we were talking earlier, have the marker, the genetic marker of the Nephilim or the reptilian race or whatever. And they hold power even today.
That's right. They do. What are we going to do to get it back?
Well, it's going to take an awakening. Everybody realizing what they are, who they are, and just denial. Because they cannot usurp free will. They can manipulate it and trick it and make you think you have no other choice. Therefore, you fall in line and give free will over. But once free will is taken back, there's not a damn thing they can do. Because they are the minority. Make no mistake, they are. because
yes, they are.
98 or 99% of them were destroyed in flood. And a lot of it probably had to do with trying to manipulate, destroy, and manipulate and destroy and taint the bloodline of Jesus himself. Being knowledgeable in prophecy and the plans of God, because certainly the fallen angels were there during the creation itself. Was why they were jealous,
right.
Why they fell to begin with.
That's right.
They didn't want no stinking monkeys ruling them.
Planet of the
Apes. Those damn dirty apes. And, you know, we see it in our modern-day mythology, in our cinema, in our fiction, how they utilize these realities and twist them. I don't know if it's to conditions to either accept them as fiction, therefore not believing that there's any reality to it whatsoever. Some speculate that is so. I mean, certainly so. And it could be. It's disinformation and can be used, you know, propaganda can be used to control the masses. It's been proven many times over.
Right.
But knowledge is power, knowing the truth and then being able to act upon it accordingly.
That's right. Knowledge is power.
See, humanity, Homo sapiens sapiens, was created. You look at Planck and the other fellow that decoded the double helix. And even those top scientists say there is no dang way that evolved on Earth. That it had to be seeded here. But evolutionists will have you believe that that's not true. Again, a part of the great deception. And anything that goes against their theory, their religion of evolution, is simply tossed aside and taught as fringe science at best, and only loonies listen to that.
Why would they want us to believe in evolution instead of being created?
Because again, it nullifies our divinity as God's creation and in His image, and relegates us to the absurd thought that we're a slave race, that we evolved from a lesser form of being, a lesser primate.
Right.
Which would completely spits in the face of the divinity of the reality of our creation in the image of the gods. Let us make a man in our image. Not let us manipulate a primate that already exists in order to create a slave race.
Right.
And that he breathed life into said Adama.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a great deception, dude, and the plans were hatched. When Plan A failed, Plan B was kicked in full force. And a manipulation at that point. Well, Plan A was to defile the seed and to manipulate it to where all the creatures, to just wipe humanity out completely, which was God's creation, by having them be half breeds, you know, half their seed. thereby
right.
defiling the bloodline of the Messiah himself. In other words, if Christ isn't all, how can the Son of God be anything other than the creation of God?
So the Son of God was not, he didn't have any Nephilim genes or reptilian genes, right?
No, not none.
Okay.
Not in my belief. No, not in my belief. He was physically human, spiritually God.
Okay.
See, I don't believe God is an Anunnaki or an alien race. I think that it is what he says he is, the creator of the universe, of all worlds, of all things, that he spoke into existence. I mean, maybe a metaphor for technology used, sound technology, I don't know. But definitely the creator of all things, and even the Anunnaki, when asked about it, said that, yes, there definitely is a creator of all things, but they had never met that creator.
And they're like millions of years ahead of us.
You know, maybe millions, tens of thousands. But the difference between tens of thousands of years and of technological evolution and millions of years, either way, it's quite a bit. If we were 1,000 years ahead of the technology we have today, who knows where we'd be. And again, none of this is religion. You gotta redelegate this and get it out of the religious realm.
Yeah.
Let's put it into the realm of reality.
Yes.
And think about these people as they were real. They lived, they died, they existed, they did things.
Yeah.
And with Noah being found perfect in his generations, was spared, and that's because of his humanity. His DNA. They were among the last of God's creations. He was a direct descendant of the Adam. And so were his children.
Yes.
Shem, Ham, and Japheth. There was factions of humanity that still existed, however minute they were, however small that pocket of humanity was. And that was what God sought to save in order to propagate the genetic material and code that he actually created.
I don't see how Noah could be anything but a myth, because how would you get all of the species of animals, insects, you know, reptiles? How would you get all that on the boat?
Well, and again, you know, doesn't really have to be a myth. It could have been technology. It may not have been an actual lining up of every 2x2. Or I believe that the original text says that there were six of the clean and six of the clean and two of the unclean. Whatever that means, I don't know. But perhaps it was a DNA bank as opposed to. But I think that people have actually taken that the dimensions of the ark and said, well, you know, it could have been possible. But think about the technology it would have taken, though, to because he would have had to have a way, you know, of bringing of air, of conditioning the air, food to feed the animals, time to go through and feed them.
Right.
You know, all right, it is a massive undertaking. I think it took him 120 years to build that dang thing. God gave him all the plans he needed to do it with. So it wasn't a human, just a human endeavor, although the labor may have been. But the blueprints came from an angel of God who spoke and told him what to do. So it could have very well been that it was a DNA bank as opposed to, much like we, I think we have now. We have somewhere located deep underground in some far off area, you know, that we have a DNA bank that has the genetic material of every animal that is in existence today in case something like that would ever happen again.
Yeah. Okay.
So it could have been
That's the only thing that can explain it, to my mind, how if everything was killed, that there was still, you know, all of these life forms.
But yet, there had to be some life forms because he did actually let some birds go, and eventually a dove who found that there was a tree on a mountain somewhere that actually had budded, and an olive branch or whatever, and brought it back. So to indicate that the floodwaters were receding.
Well, how long can trees survive underwater?
Well,
how long can trees survive underwater?
Well, perhaps it wasn't ever really underwater. Perhaps the whole world itself did not actually flood, but the known world at the time, where all of this was actually taking place. Because you got one area of the world, I think in the Central American area, where it shows there was a giant upheaval, an explosion, a super volcano went on. We don't know the exact details, but the results are the same. But in every mythology, you have a flood story.
That's true.
A tale of destruction and rebirth. The Buddhists, I think, believe that we're in our fifth era of humanity and quickly heading to another great destruction where it will happen again and we will start again.
The Mayas believe that too, the fifth world, yeah.
Well, maybe it's the Buddhists believe it, that it's the sixth or something, but there's multiple, in other words, not just one. The Hopi, I believe, believe in three or four as well. I don't know the exact numbers. I just know it's multiple times that it's happened over and over and over again, where we reach a certain apex of technology, civilization, something happens, destroys it all. A small pocket of humanity is left behind to start over again.
Right.
So who knows? But, you know, that's just the belief. So we're limited on time here. I think we got to go. But my show, we'll talk again soon.
Lexotep out.
Madman out.